Let's bow our heads a moment. Father, may each man here let that message and song speak to their heart. And Father, some destinations could be changed here this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and draw souls to yourself in Christ's name. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, New Testament. Luke chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12. Like for you to find your place, we'll begin reading in probably about verse 15. Read just a few verses. Luke chapter 12. I want to talk to you on the subject this morning, and you'll see it in our text. I want to preach to you about the poor rich man. The poor rich man. We'll read here beginning in verse 15, and he, talking about Jesus, said unto them, take heed and beware of the covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now we get the setting of this text, and the reason the Lord gave this story on the rich man here that he called a fool is because in verse 13 there was some people came to the Lord Jesus, and they wanted him to help them in an inheritance dispute. Somebody in the family was not happy with the will, I guess, that had been read, and so they come to Jesus and they ask about that, and that occasions the story here that the Lord told, and he warned them here in verse 15. He said, beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, the last of the big Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. And all of us, without being hypocritical about it, we'd rather be rich than poor. I guarantee you we had, no matter what we say about it. I remember, and this will shock some of you in the congregation, I remember when I was in about the seventh grade, I was actually in a boys' course, choral group. They were desperate. And I got in it because I had a good friend I was going to stand side of, said, could you sing? No, but I could fake it, a lot like I still do. Amen. Of course, at that time, my voice had changed and got heavy like it is now. But anyway, a little fun in it. And I guess the teacher saw what material she was working with, so we didn't really do a lot of singing. We did a lot of readings and some classical stuff and so on. And I didn't understand half what I was doing, but I was getting out of some other class, so I was all right there. But I remember that. And I'm talking about this thing of rather being rich or poor. One of the readings we did started off and it told about all the wealth that a man had. All his clothes, his house, everything, his bank account. It just described a luxurious life of a rich man. And then we got down to the end of it, and I can remember a few of the words that went something like this. And it said, though my candle burns low, and I only have a crust of bread to eat, do you think I'd exchange with him? And then there was a long pause, and we all holler as loud as we could, you bet I would. And the truth is, most of us, if we tell the truth, you bet we would. There's no doubt about it. So I'm not being hypocritical about this subject at all. But I want you to see it in its balance, as the Bible puts it in its balance. I want you to consider with me that this was a poor rich man. You say, how could that be? Very, very easily. To begin with, I want to say in the eyes of the world, this fellow was rich, no doubt about it. If you'd have seen his bank account or his cars or his house or his clothes or whatever, you'd have said, that's a rich man. And in the eyes of the world, that's what he was, and that's not wrong if he got it honestly. If he earned it, in many cases somebody else earns it. Down the road somewhere, somebody had to earn it for somebody else to even have it, inherit it. This guy was rich in the eyes of the world, and not wrong if he was if he honestly got it that way. Problem was, he thought that's the most important thing. Problem was, he thought that's all. That's where all the value is. I remember a man, my wife will know who I'm talking about, many years ago. He was a hardworking country boy, but he made it well, and his land brought forth bountifully. He did well, and I think he was a good neighbor. I think he'd help you if he could. I think he was fair to his workers, but he become consumed with his wealth. And I like the guy. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you can tell whether you like them or they like you, you know, pretty much. And he was, but every time I'd get to talking to him about the Lord, he couldn't stay off of his wealth. I couldn't get through to him because he'd tell me, I got a million in this bank over here. I got a million in this bank. See, he remembers the depression of his dad and when you couldn't trust all the banks. And so he'd tell me where he had a million and where he had a million here. And that was his big thing. And then when I'd try to get through to him about the Lord, it was just always about the millions. It was always about how his land had done, how he'd sold this and he'd sold that. The last time I saw him, I tried one more time because I had not seen him for probably 10 years. And I tried to talk to him again. You know what he brought up? Million in this bank, million in this bank, million in this bank. And I heard just a few years ago, he's dead. Now I hope somebody was able to tell him about the Lord Jesus. But I'm fearful, probably didn't. You see, there's many today, what the Lord told here in the story, he warned in verse 15. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Grabbing for all the material things, grabbing for all you can get, holding all that you can get. Now, that's what the Lord was warning about. And he said, he's warning because he said a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Somebody said, he that wins that has the most toys. Oh, no, no, no. That's not right at all. But the Lord is warning here about this thing. And you know what's wrong with America today? Covetousness. And you and I have to fight it or it's wrong with us. And I'll guarantee you in a crowd this size, there's a lot of folks got just exactly the problem that I'm talking about here in the story. Covetousness. You see, we got class warfare going on in America over who gets the most stuff. You know it. You know it's true. The folks, though, here's the problem. The folks who are getting the free stuff don't like the folks who are paying for the free stuff. And the folks that are paying for the free stuff wants the free stuff to stop. Amen? And the folks, though, that are getting the free stuff want even more free stuff on top of the free stuff they're getting. Right? And the people that are forcing the people to pay for the free stuff, they've convinced the folks that are getting the free stuff that the folks paying for the free stuff are their enemies, that they're selfish, prejudiced, cruel. And so you know what they're actually creating? They're forcing people to hate each other. Now don't ask me to say all that again. But it'll check out if you check it out. However, it's all going to come to an end because the free stuff will soon stop. Because there's more folks receiving the free stuff than there are paying for the free stuff. And you can't go on but so long that way. Covetousness, what the Lord warned about. That's really what he warned about here. And he said a man's life is not how many titles he's got. It's not how much is in the bank. It's not how much is parked in his garage. It's not who folks necessarily, and by the way, folks will praise you when you do well. That's scripture. But you see, Jesus said that's not really the most important thing in a man's life. His life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, the Bible warns about that in so many ways. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. But it's the things of the world that grab us. I want more. The Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. No matter what he gets, he wants just a little bit more. But you know, I've pastored a long time. We're talking about 44 years today. I've done a lot of funerals. I have never seen a U-Haul hooked to a hearse. I've never seen one of these mint trucks, what do they call them? Help me, somebody, if you want to get out of here. What? Armored truck with the money in it. I've never seen one of those in a funeral procession. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can't take it with you. Now, thank God you can send on ahead that'll have reward waiting on you, but you can't take it with you. And so if you measure your life by just what you can grab and hold on to, my friend, you're doing wrong and you're doing your soul an irreparable damage. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. See, here's a man that was rich in the eyes of the world, but he was really poor in the eyes of God. He was poor. You see, he had the cart ahead of the horse. Do y'all understand that analogy? The cart ahead of the horse. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, and this is his advice, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. He said, get first right with God. First look up to God. Then all these things that get your attention and you sweat for and many folks cheat for and everything else, he said, those things, God knows what you have need of. He can add those things. And the promise to the child of God is that God will supply our needs. It's up to us to control our wants, but he'll take care of our needs. Amen. But you see, the cart ahead of the horse means just grab all this stuff that's temporary, all this stuff that's got to be left behind. And this rich man here, his problem was he wasn't looking up. I've heard fellows say, well, you bless God, I done this. Now, did you ever think about that God gave you the breath and the health and the life and the strength to get what you have, to sustain your life, to take care? I mean, that's still from God. It's amazing that folks never look up, never think about God, because they're so busy looking around and gathering around and clinging to everything they can down here. But this rich man was poor because he made a mistake not looking up to God. And he made a mistake, a presumptuous mistake, in thinking he knew what his soul needed. He was wrong. What did he do? He had a conversation with his soul. Hey, by the way, folks, you do have a soul. Did you know that? We ought to look around and realize we are souls with a body, because the soul's going to outlast the body. We're wearing the body out. Can you testify to that, huh? I sure can. When I read this prayer list up here, I'm talking about folks whose bodies have been wearing out. They're going to the hospital to get this fixed and that fixed, but the trouble is it can't fix everything. And we are wearing them out. But I tell you what, your soul is just as young as it ever was. Amen? And so I hear somebody say, well, he's young in soul. We're all young in soul. Time's not playing on our soul. It's playing on our flesh. Amen? And we need to get a hold of that thing a little bit. And his mistake was he assumed what his soul needed. He said, oh, you know, my soul here, I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. And you ought to be satisfied, soul. By the way, I bet that soul was nagging him a little bit, saying, I want something else. I want assurance of where I'm going to spend eternity. I want you to look farther than those barns filled with plenty. I want you to look at something more than I can eat, taste, touch, handle. Something else. And I have to say to you right now, if you don't have peace in your soul, you don't really have peace. You can camouflage yourself a little bit. You can pretend a little bit. You can fake it a little bit. But the truth is that soul inside is still crying out, I want to be right with God. I want peace, peace that only comes from knowing my Creator. That's true, folks. But you see, he assumed on the soul's need. They say that when the Roman Empire got to the place that the Caesar said, we don't have to worry about the population overthrowing us. All we got to do is keep them satisfied. So we'll give them bread and we'll give them circuses. We give them enough to eat and we keep them entertained and they'll let us alone. And that's where America is right now. Right now. Right now in America, folks are not paying much attention to what's going on as long as they got enough to eat and enough to make them laugh. And that's what's happened across this country. We'll have the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks, and that'll be a big deal. Oh, by the way, I want to drop this in, though. All the football games this year, with all the big crowds you saw on TV, including the Super Bowl, if you counted all the people that gathered in, all those crowds, and compared them to America, the attendance in church on one Sunday is more than the crowd that attended the football games all year. Now, some of you don't believe that. Check it out. Check it out. Sometimes we think the devil's winning more, and he is winning. And he is winning big today, but I want to say to you, there's some folks that think about their soul. This fellow didn't think about it. He got in trouble thinking he knew what it meant, and he got deceived. I like football. I like sports and things, but I want to keep them in place. I think about the usher that saw an empty seat at the Super Bowl side of a lady, and it was reserved. And he said to her, ma'am, said, you sat inside of an empty seat. That's a rare thing here, said, whose seat is that? She said, oh, that was my husband's seat. He said, well, where's he at? She said, well, he's dead. He said, well, why didn't one of the family or one of the relatives take this seat? She said, oh, they're all at the funeral. Now, wait on me a minute. That's just how out of balance some folks are. Amen? Come on back. The truth of the matter is, some folks are just that bad out of balance. So, well, I got this, that, and the other. I got my insurance paid up. How about beyond the grave? Are you really thinking beyond the grave? Are you thinking about when the body becomes so weak you can't put another pill in it to get it going? Are you thinking about what's going to happen when that soul departs the body? Where is it going? Where is it going to spend eternity? This rich man missed it. He thought he had it made. He didn't have it made. Look at what it says in the text. I want you to get the accurate words out of the old Bible here. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. Why would God call him a fool? Here it is. Thou fool, this night, not tomorrow night, not next week, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Wait a minute, didn't say if the soul wants to go. Required. Required. It's an appointment it's got to keep. That soul is going back into eternity and face God. And so the Lord calls this man a fool. And he calls him, though, because he's thought he knew what the soul needed, but he didn't. He's fallen for the devil's deception, like so many have fallen into that today. This man in the story was trusting in riches. The Bible talks about uncertain riches, riches that can fly away. That can disappear. But even if the riches don't leave you, you're going to leave them. And what is going to stick with you is where you spend eternity, where the soul is going to dwell. For those that are saved, the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. However, the truth is that we have another story about a rich man found in Luke 16, and I won't turn to it. Some think it's the same rich man. I don't know about that. But a rich man that died, and the scripture says in Luke 16, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I didn't write it. That's what God said. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and he pleaded for a drop of water because he was tormented in that flame. If it was the same rich man or another rich man, don't matter, but it was another one that ignored his soul. And then we see where he went. We see what his destination was. That's the Bible I'm reading to you and talking to you about this morning. You say, well, preacher, why was he poor? He was really poor because he didn't look to God first. He was really poor because he had no relationship with God. You know, Jesus said in Mark 8:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's Matthew 8:33 there, 6:33, whatever. But the one I want to give you on Jesus is when he said in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now think that one through a minute. What shall it profit a man if he gain? No man ever has gained it. Many have tried, and they've gotten much of it sometime, but never all of it. And what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He goes on to say, and what shall he give in exchange for his soul? How's he going to buy it back? He can't. He can't get it back. It's gone. It's lost. And if gaining the whole world of all its power and of all of its riches cost you your soul, you'd be making a bad deal. One you could not change for eternity. You see, he was poor in his relationship to God. Now, the only way to have the right relationship to the Lord God Jehovah is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to this old sin-cursed world to take my sin on him and your sin on him and go to the cross in our place and pay the price we couldn't pay, that you and I could receive him and get forgiveness of sin. You see, when I stand at heaven's gate, as it were, and the gatekeeper would say, Mickey, why should I let you in? I'm going to say, because Jesus bought my ticket. Jesus paid my price. I stand here. When you look at me, you're looking at Jesus. And I'm going to get in on him, not on me. On what he did, not on what I did. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My relationship with the Father is the same as his Son. I'm hid in him. I'm joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful truth. That's my relationship with the Father. It got changed. And so you might look at my bank book or other means and say, that preacher's not very wealthy. But if you'd look at my record in heaven, you'd say, but he's got a free ticket already paid for. He's going to walk on streets of gold. He's going to be up there with the Lord Jesus and the saints of God. That makes me rich. Oh, yeah. You look at some people down here and say they're poor, but what are you judging them by? If you could see on the inside, you might find out they're rich, that they've been born again, their name's been written in heaven, the soul's been saved, their sins have been paid for. That makes a rich man out of anybody. And to not have that, no matter how much earthly wealth you've got, you're a poor man. You're poor outside of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of a story. I'll tell it best I can remember it. I don't know if it's true. Might not be true, but it makes a truth evident. It is said in a village, in a valley, in the old days, not a very big village, but in a village, little church. And one man that was wealthier than everybody else, and in fact, many of the people in the village worked for him. And it is said one night in a testimony meeting in the little church, there was an old grandpa. He lived a great Christian life. Everybody knew about it, knew about his Christian standards. knew how he lived for the Lord for so many years. But one night in a testimony meeting in the little church, the old man stood and he said, I'm going to share a dream. I believe it's from God. I want you to pray with me about it. God told me by next Sunday night, the richest man in this village was going to die. And they all talked about how we all need to witness to the man on the hill. The richest man we know, we need to go tell him. And Grandpa said, I know him well, and he's a good man, but he's not saved. And I'll go tell him about what I dreamed. So he did. He went to the rich man and he said, God revealed to me in a dream that next Sunday night, the richest man in our village will pass away, will die. Well, the rich man said, I appreciate you letting me know, but I'm okay. That don't scare me. And time went on, and they say a couple of times during the week, the old grandpa went to the man again, so concerned. My dream was so real. The message seemed to be from God. And I just want to tell you, he said, the richest man in our valley, in our village, is going to pass away on Sunday night. Well, that Sunday came. People met in the church. They went home after church. And at daylight, though, the church bell began to ring. And it was always rung at an odd time when somebody in the village passed away. And it began to ring. And everybody ran out of the doors. And they looked up on the hill at the big house, the rich man's house. But then a word came to him. He didn't die. Grandpa died. And then it began to dawn on him. We thought that was the rich man. Grandpa was the rich man. He was the richest of all. And you can be richest of all in Jesus Christ, when he's your Savior. And without him, you're poor. Without him, you have no hope. Without him, you only hold the wealth of this world temporarily for a little while. But you got to let go of it. You got to let go of it. I want to ask you this morning. You've come to church. Somebody invited you. Somebody cared for your soul. Oh, listen, my friend. The most valuable thing you have is your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? This rich man in our text, Luke 12, lost his soul. Don't be deceived. Without Jesus, you're poor. With Jesus, you're rich. And this morning, you can have him as your Lord and Savior. You're in God's house. He started the church, nothing else. I'm God's man on the authority of God's book telling you that Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You can leave that seat. You can meet me right here. Unashamedly say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know it. I want to know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Well, Jesus will give you that assurance. He said, him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Will you come to him this morning? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. Are you here today and you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, and I know that. I know that. Can you say that by the uplifted hand this morning all over the building? I know it. I'm not raising my hand because anybody else is looking. Nobody's looking but God and the preacher. Would you lift that hand? I'm saved. I know it. Thank you for so many hands. You may put them down. And I ask you this morning, do you realize you couldn't honestly raise your hand that you're saved? That you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Would you be honest with yourself? Are you here and you'd say, preacher, when you pray, think about me. I need to be saved. I know I need Christ. Pray for me to have the courage to receive him. Would you lift that hand up for prayer right now? Would you do it? Thank you, and you, and you, and several back here in the balcony. Thank you, and over on my left. Father, I bow my head before you now. I promise these that lifted their hand, I'd pray for them. So I ask right now that your spirit would speak to them. Father, they're in a good place to come trust Christ, to get their soul saved, to know if they died today, they'd go to heaven. And Father, become rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your strength upon them, your spirit to lead them, that they would come forward and meet us as we sing a song and invite them to do just exactly what I did and others did in receiving Christ.